Hello and welcome to the Lund University International Podcast. On the show, you'll hear from current students, alumni, teachers, and many more special guests as we explore what it's really like to live and study in Lund. My name is Maria Lindblad, and I am a recruitment manager here at Lund University. These are exciting times we are in right now. The admission results have just come out for international students who have applied to a master's program at Lund University starting in autumn 2024, in August to be specific. And we're going to talk a little bit about what happens now and all the preparations to come for our incoming students. And with me today is Rebecca, one of my colleagues.
Hello.
Hi, Becca.
Hi, nice to be here.
Yeah, so as we said, the admission results should be out now. Woo-hoo. If you made an application, it will be in your universityadmissions.sc. account, and you will see the magical word admitted or conditionally admitted.
Oh,
some might have
so
reserved.
Exciting.
Maybe we should talk about that. Yeah. And if you did apply to a bachelor's level program, you will have to wait a little bit longer until the 11th of April for your results. But the same information that we're going to talk about today will apply to you as well later. So even if you are still waiting for the results, you can still stay tuned during this episode. So, Becca, if somebody has applied to join us here in autumn and they found that magical word, admitted, conditionally admitted, what should they do now? What happens? Where
exactly.
Do we start? Exactly.
So, I mean, first of all, congratulations if that's you, because that's really brilliant. We're so happy that you will be joining us. So, yes, as Maria said, it may say admitted or conditionally admitted. Usually that conditionally admitted is for those who maybe applied in their final year, and we're still waiting for those documents, but it does still mean you're admitted, just to be like clear on that. You don't have to worry, like you have an offer from us, so
yeah.
That's really exciting. So the first thing to do will be to let us know that you want to come and join
yeah.
us here on campus. So you should be receiving information on how to do that very soon by email. We have a form that you have to fill out, and you will have to accept your place.
Yeah.
And just let us know that, yes, I am definitely coming.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if for some reason, you know, you're not going to be able to join us, which would be sad. But then if that's the case, then please make sure you go to universityadmissions.se, because you need to let us know about that too. So you need
yeah.
to decline your place on universityadmissions.se.
Mm-hmm.
So to accept your place, you use our system. But if you need to decline, you go to universityadmissions.se.
Yeah. And what if somebody has been given an offer, but they're not quite sure yet?
Mm-hmm.
They need to sort out their funding, or they need to think about it, or they have multiple offers. Is it advisable to accept, or should they wait, or what should they do?
Well, I think it's good to accept, because
yeah.
there's nothing binding about that. You know, if you go on our system and you accept your place, you're not giving us a you know, really ironclad promise. You're just saying, this is my intention.
Yeah.
I intend to come to Lund. So we understand things can sometimes change. Circumstances can sometimes come up.
Yeah. Yeah, of
that,
course.
You know, can make things.
And it's still early. I mean, there's
yeah.
quite a few months left until August. So obviously we understand that things can happen,
exactly.
as you said. Just before
yeah.
we move along, should we just cover briefly if somebody has not been offered a place but are on the reserve list and they see that word reserve, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. So some of you may indeed be in that situation where you see that you have a reserve place. And what this means is, as you probably already understand by now, everybody who is qualified for those programs will have been given a merit rating and kind of placed in some sort of order. And then those who haven't quite made it into the top few that have received an offer but are qualified can still receive a reserve place. So this means that you were qualified, which is great, but it just means that you maybe slightly missed out on an actual offer. And your reserve place can indicate how close you were, in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
Because if you are in the top 10, for example, reserve, then that means you were really very close. And if you were maybe 200 or 300, Not so much, so yeah. I can give you a little bit of information.
Yeah.
But what it means is that a place may become available for you between now and the start of term. But obviously, Maria, you probably can say a little bit about how people should be thinking about this, because
yeah,
even if you get an offer like a later date, you still have to consider a few things with that timeline.
Yeah, exactly. And just as you were saying, Becca, it does matter. Where are you on the waiting list or the reserve list, and how competitive is the program? Is it likely? And many students contact us and say, well, when will you give me a final decision? And it doesn't really work like that. I mean, basically, you're on the waiting list up until the program starts. But obviously, unless you're given an offer earlier. But obviously, as you said, Becca, there are timelines to think about here, because if you are an international student, you're traveling in, maybe you need a residence permit, maybe you have to pay tuition fees. Obviously, you can't accept if you get an offer in early August or late July or, you know, something like that. It would be much too late. So you need to sort of, yes, keep your options open, but also think about, when do I need to know in order to actually make
it? You sort of have to set your own deadline if you're a reserve, I think, and say, okay, this is the latest possible date where I need to know by.
Yeah.
Because after that point, I'm not going to have enough time for things like residence permit or housing or stuff like that. So listen to the rest of this episode where we're going to talk about some of those timelines, and that will also help you to decide when this cutoff date is for you, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's move on to the next thing. So if you have indeed been accepted and you have accepted your place, said, yes, I really want to join you guys, and you are an international student, non-EU, that means that you will need to pay tuition fees for your studies. So talk to us a bit about that, Becca. When do you do that? How do you do that? How does that work?
Yeah, so basically, you have to wait for your invoice to come through to the portal. We will also be sending information about this to you as well via email, so keep an eye out there. And once you see the prompt to log in and receive the invoice in the portal, then you can pay, and that's usually quite fast, so you should be seeing those invoices coming through shortly, and at that point there's multiple ways to pay, isn't there, but I think the main one is by a credit card.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest and most straightforward,
it's just fastest and safest. And one tip there about the credit card also, we do every year have students writing to us saying, oh, it doesn't work, or I can't make the payment. Most cases, I mean almost 99% of the cases, this is something to check with your bank, because your card may be limited so that you can't do sort of online international payments or over a certain amount, for example. So make sure that your credit card can actually make that kind of payment. That's just a good thing to think about before you log in to pay the invoice.
Otherwise, an international bank transfer is also an option, but please allow some time for that and keep an eye on the deadlines. Because,
yeah,
of course, if they're, like with everything, there's a deadline for this too.
Yeah.
And you must make sure that you allow enough time for that transfer to come through before the deadline.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think that kind of takes us on to all these things are very closely connected. So Becca was talking here about the deadline, but the thing is, you should not really wait until the deadline.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Because you need to pay in order to be able to move on to the next step of the process. And that can be a very long step. So therefore, it's important to pay early. And just to clarify, though, what you actually have to pay.
True.
Maybe you want to explain that, Becca. How are they paying the full tuition? Are they paying?
That's a very good point, because we don't want you to pay more than you need to or anything like that. But yeah, so we take two payments per year, so one per semester. So that amount that you will pay, the first payment you make, is half of the annual fee for your program, the annual tuition fee. And if you're not sure what that amount is, you can check on the program page, but it should also be on your invoice. So it should be quite clear.
Yeah, exactly. And if you are an EU student, your fees are actually covered through the tax system in the EU, so you will not receive an invoice. Another thing we should maybe, before we move on to the next step, is to talk about a little bit scholarships, because there will be some lucky students here who have received a scholarship that might cover part of the tuition fee or even the full tuition fee. So how would that work, Becca? if somebody has, let's say, a 50% scholarship?
Yeah. So if, for example, you've got our Lund University Global Scholarship and you've received a tuition fee discount of, say, 50%, then the invoice will be for the remaining amount. So you just have to make sure that you pay the remaining amount. And we're going to talk a little bit in a minute about the migration process, but they will be able to check whether you've paid that initial payment or whether it's covered with a scholarship. We'll indicate that. So that will be no problem if you've got a scholarship. And that is also another reason why some people sometimes delay a little to pay this first payment, because they're waiting for the results of a scholarship, for example. If that's you, if you're waiting for the results of a scholarship and you know that that will take you up to close to the deadline, for example, then let us know. Just like talk to us about it, because it can sometimes be a situation where students need to talk to us about an extension for that, for example, but we must know about it. You have to tell us, because we may need to check whether we have an agreement with your scholarship organization and that kind of thing.
Exactly. And I mean, so just to clarify again here, so if it's a Lund University Global Scholarship, we will sort of adjust accordingly with your invoice. And if it is, like you said, Becca, an external scholarship or something that you've applied for somewhere else, then you might have to contact us unless you're able to make the payment anyway and kind of organize that on your own. But then we also have a few students who were able to apply to the Swedish Institute Scholarship. And of course, those results are not out yet. So there are a couple of things for you to think about in the process as well, because it's still going to take a few weeks before you get the results from that. And so those students often contact us and say, well, what should I do? Should I still pay? Should I not pay? And it's not a clear yes or no answer. Basically, if you are 100% dependent on that scholarship and there's no way at all that you're coming to Lund unless you receive the Swedish Institute Scholarship, then we would say wait a little bit until you actually have that result and know how you can move forward. But if you are hoping for the Swedish Institute Scholarship, but you do have other options and you might be able to make it anyway, then we would recommend that you consider paying the first installment, given that you can then go ahead with the next steps, applying for a residence permit and so on.
Exactly, because that's the reason why we're encouraging people to pay as early as possible, because sorting out your tuition fee payment in one way or another, whether that's with scholarship or paying, is the first step that you have to take before you can apply for your residence permit. So the quicker you can organize that, the earlier you can apply for your residence permit, and therefore hopefully the smoother and quicker that residence permit process goes. So that's why we're kind of encouraging you to consider paying that as soon as you can.
And I mean, it is a little bit of a risk, of course, because you're not sure, do I dare to make the payment? And then I maybe have to apply for a refund, and that's going to cost a little bit for you and so on. So we do understand that there are considerations to make here. But that's something we will also be communicating more with you about throughout this process. So don't worry too much about it. But the key message here is pay as early as you can. That is sort of the key message. And that is exactly as we've been saying, in order for you to move on to the next step. So let's go there. A residence permit application. This is something that makes students nervous. Most cases, there's no reason to be nervous. But it is a very important step. So can you enlighten us a little bit, Becca, what it means and how to start?
Absolutely. So the process is online. The form is on the Migration Office website. You have to pay 1,500 krona, and that is non-refundable. So please be sure before you make that step. They guide you through everything that you need to submit. There's lots of different documents, but I mean, one of the main ones is that you must provide your bank account with the funds in for your maintenance requirement, for example. Hopefully you will have heard information about this already in terms of the specifics, but everything should be fairly clear as you go through that form, I would say. And then once you've actually made that application, then the waiting begins. And I feel like that is probably the hardest part of this process, isn't it? The fact that you have to wait. And lots of students find that quite difficult. It can be very fast. It can really be like, you know, just a couple of weeks and you get a result. Or it can take the maximum time and be, you know, really up to the last minute. But most students, it's quite smooth and you know, they're not stressing like right at the last minute. But it's just hard to sit and wait. I think.
And there's also a lot of things that you can do and that you can start with already now. So even though you just got the admission results, there are things you can prepare. I mean, first of all, check your passport if you haven't already done that to make sure that that's actually valid for a long time.
And signed as well, I think.
Exactly. Signed, valid, and that it doesn't expire soon, because if it does, get a new one right away. Also, get your funding in order, in order, because we talked about the tuition fee, but when you apply for your residence permit, you will also need to show that you can support yourself in Sweden. So do you have the money you need in your account, or are you getting it through a scholarship or a loan or something? And just, do you have the documents in order? Do you have a bank statement? So there are a lot of things you can,
these kinds of little details.
So there are a lot of things you can prepare so that once the payment is done and you're ready, you can just go ahead and apply. And as Becca was saying, the timeline varies, but one important factor is actually, did you make a complete and correct application?
Exactly. Because that's a thing that does often slow things down, isn't
it?
If there's a document which is missing or incorrect, then you have to be requested to send a new document, and then everything just slows down. So make sure that you've got your application in as good a state as possible before you submit it, and that you're applying as early as you can. And then you're really putting yourself in the best possible situation to hopefully have a nice, smooth process. And I want to mention, some students will have to, well, actually, almost all students will definitely be going to the embassy to leave biometrics and show their passport. There might be some different like possibilities for the passport, but I think you should all expect that you have to go to the embassy as like a sort of something to just bear in mind.
Yeah, you can't really prepare because you don't know when, but it's good to know that
have to go to the Swedish embassy, and it may not be the very most local place to you either, so just be prepared that that will probably happen at some point. And then after that, then you will also at some point receive the notification that you have been granted, hopefully, your residence permit, and then you will have to get your hands on that card as well. So some people may be posted it, some people may have to go to the embassy, it varies.
And some people can get it in Sweden.
Some people can get it in Sweden, can enter with travel authorization, I think, and then receive it in Sweden. So just keep an eye out on the information that comes through about this so that you know what actually applies to you. And I think that's the main thing, really.
Yeah, I think so. We're not going to do a deep dive into the permits. I know that this is something that some of you are worried about, but this is not a day to worry. This is a day to be happy. And also, we will send you a lot more information. There will be videos, there will be webinars, Q&As, things like that. So we will take you through these steps.
But
we just want to sort of give you a quick overview of the upcoming things. But I think we should move on to a more fun topic. What about housing? So there's a lot to unpack there as well. It is a process that you cannot necessarily start right away now in March, but around May or so is usually a good time to start either applying for housing directly, if you can apply to LU accommodation, or start your own search. So help us out here, Becca. Who's who? What can you do? Who has a housing guarantee?
So if you're listening and you are a non-EU citizen and you're a fee-paying student, then congratulations, you have a housing guarantee. So this is a wonderful thing that I think we offer at Lund University, where LU accommodation offers you housing. You have to apply for it, as Maria said, in around May, and you can indicate your preference, and they will try their best to match you up. They may offer you something else if there's a lot of interest in one offer, you know, one particular option or something. But you will definitely have somewhere to live, which is really nice and reassuring. And these are usually quite typical student accommodation, in that you often have a bedroom on a shared corridor and then a shared living area, like a kitchen lounge area. That's the most sort of standard, I would say. And they're usually furnished, at least with the basics. So you don't have to worry about that either. So it's a really good option, I would say, for those who have it.
For those who have it. And we, a little caveat, we should also say that they do not accept families or pets.
Or pets. And this always makes me a little bit sad because someone always asks me, like, can I bring my cat?
Aww.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry that you can't bring your cat, at least not to LU accommodation.
No, exactly.
But if that's you, if you have a cat that, you know, you just really love.
A cat or husband or husband.
I mean, you know, equally important, of course.
And the kind of companionship.
I mean, you know, like, whatever it is.
Then you will need to find your own house.
Yeah, and we can talk about that process as well. Like, okay, what happens if you're one of those people who doesn't have the housing guarantee or who has very specific housing needs?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to say a bit about
Exactly. So if you do not have a housing guarantee, you are unfortunately on your own in terms of actually finding housing. However, we obviously have a lot of tools to help you. There is the student unions. They have LU,
AF Bostäder,
and AF Bostäder. The Academic Society has that. So there is plenty of housing to go around. And there are, of course, a lot of private landlords. There are other types of organizations that have, nations as well, that have housing for students, but you need to really be active here. Join Facebook groups, join other sort of forums where you can chat about housing, ask around with other incoming students if they want to share something, or ask current students, how did they find housing? And we're going to talk more about how you can connect with these groups later. But you really need to be active and don't panic now. Like we said before, maybe May, June is a good time to start being really, really active. If you start too early, it might be hard as well, because many of the current students will move out in June. So a lot of
more housing will
opens
come up.
But the key message is, if you don't have a housing guarantee, expect to be active and to really search many options. And don't be too picky about exactly where you want to live. I think many students also misunderstand the size and the way to get around in the region and think, oh my God, I have to live like right next to my department. And no, you don't. Most of us in the staff, we commute from other cities around. Some of us live in Malmö, some of us live in Helsingborg and other places. And the public transportation is good. There are trains, there are buses, there are trams, and you can bike almost everywhere around here.
Exactly. So. Yeah, because sometimes we also get asked that for those who are living in LU accommodation, they're concerned about, what if I don't get my top pick and I'm put in another LU accommodation that's further away? But even the ones that are the most far away, in inverted commas, are still only maybe 20 minutes bike ride,
exactly,
like maximum from where you, there's the size of the city and the public transportation means that there really is no worries about where you're living in terms of commuting time. So don't worry about that. And I think you're right. Like, you can always look in Malmö, Lund, some of the other smaller villages near Lund, for example, as well.
And also, if you really are in a panic and it's getting close to August, get temporary housing, get an Airbnb, stay in a hostel, do something just to get you over those first few weeks, because then you will make friends and you will ask other people, you will maybe find somebody's couch you can sleep on.
Exactly.
So it usually works out.
We do have those safety nets. We do have that hosting option for people who have arrived and they haven't figured something out. But we don't want you to be in that situation.
No.
We'd rather
no.
that you sort something out before you come. And
So key message, be active, but don't panic.
Exactly. There's a balance.
And we already started a little bit on this topic, but how about connecting with current students and other incoming students? Can you talk to us a bit about that, Becca?
Yeah, for sure. So there's going to be different options for this. One of them is Goin, which is an app that we have where you can meet other incoming students. And we will actually have a whole episode about this, so stay tuned for that. There's also, of course, you're always welcome, as usual, to connect with the Unibuddy ambassadors on our Chat With Us page, so you can actually speak to other students about your program and about Lund University to answer any questions that you might have before you arrive. And then, of course, we also have the Welcome and Orientation program, where you will be basically, if you sign up for that, you can be in mentor groups, which is when you're placed in a group with a lot of other new students in the same situation as yourself, and with some other friendly current students who help you kind of settle in, do some activities during that first couple of weeks. So there's different ways to meet new students. And of course, each program will also probably have their own social things going on as well. Maybe you're going to have like an initial fika or something with your new classmates. So I remember myself when I started studying here, it really was fast that you start meeting people. And even in the first initial orientation program, I was sitting next to somebody in one of the lectures and I introduced myself and said, what program are you on? And they were on my program. And then I became like really good friends
with them. I mean, we have stories about people who met in the lines, in the queues on arrival day and, you know, ended up getting married or something later. So you do meet people fast.
You do, really fast. And because everyone's in the same situation, which I think is so nice, because they all are maybe feeling a little nervous as well, wanting to meet other people, and you know, so you're ready to be friends basically, which is a nice
thing. And I mean, just to be clear about arrival, we have students from, you know, 130 different countries coming in on the big arrival day, and it's like 2,000 students on one day. So I mean, they're really, as you were saying, Becca, everybody's in that same situation and open to connect and so on. And also, in addition to connecting with students through apps or you know, chatting with them or meeting with them, there's also a lot of content to consume. Podcast episodes like this one, but also films on YouTube where you can see your different housing areas. You can get a taste of student life, our social media accounts, our Instagram, where we have a lot of photos and reels and current students explaining what it's like to be here. So you can really get a feel for what to expect before you come.
Even the virtual tour, you can have a look around, feel like you're already on campus. So when that means that when you're actually here, you will feel like it isn't necessarily the very first time you stepped foot here, ideally.
Exactly. You have a sense of where you're coming. So I think that kind of wraps up the sort of most immediate steps. Of course, there's a lot more we could get into, and we will. There will be other ways we will reach out to you for sure. There will be activities. We will also have different webinars on like, what are your next steps? And in some countries, we might even have small meetups where you can connect with other incoming students or with us, or if not, then digitally for sure. So there's a lot more content to come. So no worries. This is the time to celebrate and then, you know, deal with the rest later. Any other tips or thoughts, Becca, that you have for the newly admitted?
I would just say, I mean, I agree with, you know, taking this moment as just a moment of, you know, celebration and just congratulate yourself, because it is, you know, a really big achievement to get an offer with us. And we really do hope that you will, choose to actually come and join us. As we've kind of said, that this balance between, on the one hand, be active, and on the other hand, don't panic, is probably something to hold with you for the next couple of months, because it will all work out fine. Like, you can hold on to that in your heart, that like everybody is going through the same thing as you right now, this like process of moving countries, which is not a small thing to do. And that's another thing you should be very proud of as well. And when you get here, you are going to feel like part of this community of people that has all chosen to come and make Lund University their home for the next couple of years. So, you know, just focus on that end goal and try and stay relaxed, you know, listen to the information that we're giving you whenever it comes, and just, keep going until you get here. Yeah. And then a whole new chapter will begin.
How exciting. On that note, I think we will just wrap it up and say congratulations again and stay tuned. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lund University International Podcast. If you are interested in learning more about Lund University, you can go to our website, lunduniversity.lu.se. You can also follow us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and X, and you can chat with current students on Unibuddy.
Don't forget to subscribe, and we look forward to bringing you a new episode very soon.